Welcome to this Hungry Planet podcast. I'm Cleo Darcy.
And I'm Darren Eastburn. In each podcast, we will review a major concept or issue, we'll clarify a possible point of confusion, and we'll provide questions for review. This week's major concept is vectors. Just what are vectors and what role do they play in plant pathology?
Plant pathologists use the term vector in two different ways. In the genetic modification of plants, a vector is a small, self-replicating DNA molecule, such as a plasmid or a virus, that is used to introduce a fragment of foreign DNA into a host cell.
At many other times, however, you will come across the word vector used in another context. Any living organism, including insects, animals, fungi, nematodes, and even a human being, that is able to transmit a pathogen and thereby disseminate a disease is called a vector.
Vectors can have different kinds of relationships with the pathogens that they spread. Some vectors simply become accidentally contaminated with a pathogen during the course of their daily activities. For example, bees and many other insects come into contact with the Erwinia amylovera bacteria that cause fire blight while they feed on apple and pear flowers. The sticky bacterial cells adhere to the insect's bodies until they rub off on another surface, perhaps the flower of another apple or pear tree, thus transmitting the disease. In this case, there are over 100 insects that can serve as vectors of this pathogen.
Other vector-pathogen relationships are more specific. For example, the beetles that transmit Ophiostoma omai, the fungus that causes Dutch elm disease, come into contact with the fungus in feeding tunnels that they burrow in elmwood as they develop through their worm-like larval stages into mature adult beetles. When they emerge from the wood of an infected tree, the adults are likely to be contaminated with the sticky fungal spores present in the tunnels because the fungus is also living within the wood. Since only a few beetles use elmwood as their home, the number of insects that transmit Dutch elm disease is more limited than the number of insects that transmit fire blight.
And some vector-pathogen relationships are even more specific than this. Many plant viruses are spread within the bodies of insects or nematodes that ingest them as they feed on plant sap and later spit them out in their saliva. These viruses and a few other pathogens can survive adverse conditions protected within the bodies of their vectors. For example, the viruses that cause barley yellow dwarf in wheat, oats, and barley can overwinter in their aphid vectors and be introduced into cereal fields when the aphids arrive each spring.
Sometimes the introduction of a new vector influences the course of an epidemic. For example, there are native bark beetle vectors of Ophiostoma omai in the United States. However, Dutch elm disease spread much more rapidly here because, along with the pathogen, a new efficient beetle vector was introduced from Europe. On the other hand, the requirement for a vector to complete the disease cycle can provide additional opportunities for disease management. In the past, efforts to manage Dutch elm disease have included spraying or injecting trees with insecticides to kill the beetle vectors.
This week's point of confusion is management strategies for Dutch elm disease and for chestnut blight. Disease management strategies such as severing root grafts between trees or cutting down and burning infected trees can sometimes effectively manage Dutch elm disease, but have never been and could never have been effective for chestnut blight. Why? Because the Dutch elm disease epidemic has occurred to a large extent in city plantings of elm trees along our streets and sidewalks, whereas the chestnut blight epidemic took place in the Appalachian forest, a mixture of tree species that extends from Maine to Georgia. In a forest situation, it is simply impractical to sever root grafts or to cut and burn infected trees. However, these strategies are sometimes practical in an urban setting. If you remember where these two important epidemics of tree diseases occurred, you will not confuse the strategies that people tried to use to manage them.
If you can answer the following questions, congratulations! You have mastered some of the new terms and some important ideas in plant pathology.
What are some examples of pathogens we have studied that are spread by vectors?
How does the plant disease triangle change for a disease in which a vector is involved?
Why were different management strategies used for the epidemics of chestnut blight and of Dutch elm disease in the United States? We're Darcy
and Eastburn
for Hungry Planet.